Ascension Sunday, the Sunday following the Ascension, is always one that strikes me as a unique opportunity to look into the heart of Jesus, to understand the love that he talks about in the high priestly prayer that I just read from the gospel, the high priestly prayer that he prayed the night when he was so in anguish that the Bible said he sweat blood. This prayer was indeed a look into the heart of Jesus. He knew what was happening, and yet he prayed with boldness that we, his people, we, his disciples, we, his followers, we, his church, would be perfectly one. A lot of people over the ages have questioned, what does perfectly one mean? Does it mean that we should be one institution? Nope. Does it mean that we should be one and completely the same? Nope. Yet over the years, the church has, in listening to Jesus' high priestly prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and the prayer that we heard right now, have tried over and over again to find unity in all the wrong places. They try to find unity by compromising and joining together and not dealing with the hard stuff. They try to find unity in making everybody be the same, which is really boring if you ask me. It is the desire of our Lord that we would be one, but that we would be one according to his plan, according to his will, according to his vision for what that means, not ours. So, can you please put up the sermon? No, I was going to use it in the middle. I tried to embed it, but I couldn't. So as we talk in our last lesson in the series on people of purpose, we talk about being one. And we look at the text that I just read, and I highlighted a few things there. It's interesting because as Jesus prays for his disciples, he says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus already knows that through the word, people are going to come to faith. And he says that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Can you flip to the next slide, please? There. The context of John 17, as I mentioned before, is after the Lord's Supper in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I just wanted you to hear those words again so that we may become perfectly one with him and the Father. And then he uses these phrases, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And again, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Becoming perfectly one then means that we are one in heart, one in spirit, one in mission and purpose, one with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So how do we belong, believe, and then become? Because that's what he says, as in the process of discipleship, we become perfectly one with him. Well, we know who we are. We know that we've been brought into this relationship with him through holy baptism. We trust in the Lord's will, and we surrender to his power in us. Again, those words, believe, know, and love. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. I find this fascinating because, can I just get by you? Bam. Thank you. This word, pistuo, which is what we have here for the word believe, I find it kind of fascinating because It comes from the word pistis, which is the Greek word for belief. And the definition of that is the conviction of the truth of anything, belief. In the New Testament, of a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God and divine things. Generally, with the included idea of trust and holy fervor born of faith and joined with it. That's a long definition, isn't it? But when you try to define pistuo, you try to find that faith. There's actually a gift of faith that comes through the Holy Spirit, right? But this is the type of faith that Jesus prays everyone will have. Relating to God, the conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. Relating to Christ, a strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. And the religious belief of Christians is the belief that predominant idea of trust or confidence, whether in God or in Christ, springing from faith in the same. It's a long definition, but there's a difference between, in the Greek, there's a difference between believing in something or trusting or having confidence in something than in the word that we use for know. Gnosko, the word for know, means to learn, to know, come to know, or get a knowledge of, or perceive, or feel. It's different than just trusting. It's knowing. Trusting really does take faith. To trust someone, we used to do these exercises when I was growing up where you would be blindfolded and you were to listen to someone as they led you through circumstances. And that was a trust exercise, a faith exercise, right? So you'd be listening to someone, you knew there was obstacles in the room, you were blindfolded, and they would tell you, go to the right, go to the left, and you were really hoping that they knew their right from their left. I don't know if any of you experienced this. You're really hopeful. But the difference between trusting and believing in faith and knowing is that once you got to the end of the course, and once you hadn't fallen over a chair or another obstacle in the way, all of a sudden you had a sense of confidence that you knew that person was trustworthy, right? You had to go through an experience where you trusted, but then what you trusted in became truth and you knew it. So that when we look at these words, there's a difference between believe and knowledge. And so what we want is we want to be people of purpose to recognize not only what we believe in to be true, but to actually know it to be true. And the only way that's going to happen, I'm sorry to say, is if we go through trials. If we go through situations where we can't do it on our own. How many of you like to be in a situation where you can't do it on your own? None of us, right? We all want to be able to be in control and to know that we can handle it on our own. And yet the Lord tells us that we are to know or recognize that God is faithful. He doesn't break his promises. He doesn't say something and then not do it. That he is faithful. And the other word that he uses in this prayer that he prays is he prays for them not only to believe in the word, but to know Jesus as our Savior and the love that the Father had before the beginning of the world. And that love here is that agape, which means brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. It's also what they used in the early church to talk about the feast they had. They call them love feast. And I always think of when I hear this, I think of the hearkening back to Matthew or to John chapter 3, verse 16, which is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's interesting because in there we see these words. Agape, the love. And it's funny because isn't that exactly the same prayer that he prays when he says, I pray that they would be one, Father, so that the world may believe. And in John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world. Now we sometimes think as Christians that we are outside of the world because we know our citizenship is in heaven. But what God is saying is he's saying that when we are united, when we are one in spirit, when we are one in heart, when we are one in purpose, when we are doing what the Lord has prayed for in the Garden of Gethsemane by his will, he loves the world through us, and he wants to share the truth of who he is through us, which I think is a pretty big privilege. I mentioned in the children's sermon at the beginning of service here that when Jesus ascends, he tells his disciples something pretty interesting. He says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then he tells them, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at them upon you? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and the cloud took him out of their sight. And this is really important because he told them, what did he tell them to do? To wait. To go back to Jerusalem and wait. And, you know, maybe after, I always think it's interesting we have this text on Sunday and the ascension was Thursday, because how many days is that? 3 days, right? What happened in 3 days? Did they just wait patiently for the Holy Spirit? It says in Acts 1:14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And he says, we are to be one. Jesus prayed that we were to be one accord, perfectly one in purpose, to know Jesus and to make him known. This is a task the church had after ascension. But you know what? They don't do what Jesus said, did they? They start out right. They go back and it says they're praying in one accord, devoting themselves to prayer. But after 3 days, what happened? They had a business meeting. What is it about us that we can't just wait patiently, right? We immediately want to do something. So they had a congregational meeting. They're going to have a vote. That's how we do things, right? And they're, even though they are told to wait for the gift, and instead they start to do things on their own. I don't know if you know this, but we never hear of Matthias again, right? He was voted in. I have to think if they would have waited, then Paul would have been the one who was the 12th apostle. But again, what is it in our nature? Do we, when we talk about faith, when we talk about knowing that God is real and can do what he promises, our human nature takes over us and we want to fix things. We want to solve things. We want to do things. We want to be in control. That's just our human nature. That's one of the things that started from the fall. But we are Easter people and people of purpose. And so we know that we are one, perfectly one, when we pray and when we study and we worship and we join together in trust and love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we hear about that love, what it does to change us. We hear in John 13:35, when Jesus gave that great new command to love one another. He says, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So what does this look like? Well, I think when we recognize that we are one in purpose, and to be perfectly one is not to be perfectly the same, not to be perfectly together in an organization or an institution. No, to be one means to be in one in our relationship with Jesus and to be in the sweet spot of his will. There's a sweet spot when we're in his will. And sometimes, a lot of times actually, we may not like the place where he places us, right? We may not like the situation we're in. We may not think this is what's best for us. And yet we trust the Lord when he says we are going to be perfectly one. It's to pray, to study the word, to worship together, to join together, to find an accountability person, to be mentored by someone, to find a way for us to walk in sync with God. Our church is called Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and synod means walking together. Doesn't mean that we're going to be perfectly united, but it means that even in our diversity, we walk together for the sake of the gospel. We walk together for the sake of doing what we were called to do, which is to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, right? Huge task. So I'd like to watch this video because I think sometimes we get the wrong impression. When we think Jesus is praying that we should be perfectly one, we often think that we should be perfectly one together as individuals, and yet what he loves about us is that we're not the same. What he loves about us is when all of our diversity, all of the uniqueness that we have comes together, it's a sweet thing. So look carefully and listen. I figured by this time in the sermon, you probably want one of those. But you see, it's an amazing gift. The gift that the Lord gave to his disciples when he said, go wait for the power. Wait for the promise. Wait for the gift that will bring you all together and will allow you to understand what my will is for you as an individual, but also for you as my people. And this Ascension Sunday, I pray that we would spend time. We got a week until Pentecost. And I really believe the Lord, even though the Lord is here every week, because we're an Easter people, he's here every week. But I would pray that you would ask the Lord to show up big time on Pentecost, because it's the day we remember the birth of the church, when they went from being scared to being bold. When they went from understanding that they didn't need to have business meetings. They just needed to listen to the Lord and follow his plan. When they understood that perfectly one means to be one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to be in the sweet spot of God's will, but also to gather together with other believers, to be one in purpose, to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, and to have that perfect unity, like a good cup of, I don't even know what that was, actually. I don't know if it was a cup, would it be a latte? I don't think so. More, anyways, I'm starting to digress, because maybe I'd like that. But anyways, it's an amazing gift when all of us are together and all of us are seeking the will of God and all of us are perfectly one. It's an immense, tremendous gift. May we cherish the gift that God has given to us, his body, we, his people, his church, and celebrate with great joy that he has been creating us and giving us that unity that the world will never understand, but that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen.